Before reflecting on today's scriptures, I'd like to mention something about the sanctuary this evening. On this side, you'll see a group of young deacons, and the one who read the gospel on this side, they are going to be ordained priests in the spring of this year, in May. And we're getting together tonight after Mass to have dinner. So that's why they're here this evening, to celebrate with me and to celebrate with you. But I wanted you to know that so that you might pray for them in these final weeks and months of preparation for ordination as priests. So why don't you express your gratitude for their vocations? We Catholics believe that the scriptures are the word of God. But sometimes when we gather for Mass, although we make an act of faith in that being a reality, we don't often enough understand that the scriptures are not simply the word of God, but they are the word of God for us, which means that God wants to give you and I the gift of his word this evening. And we need to apply it to our personal lives, receiving it as a gift. So with that in mind, we look at today's scripture readings. Today is the World Day of Marriage. It was the celebration began by the marriage encounter, I think, some years ago. And so the church throughout the world is praying for marriages today. The opening prayer of Mass could help us put that in context, perhaps. This is a prayer we prayed. Keep your family safe, O Lord, with unfailing care. Now, we're praying for the family of the church here. But this notion of keeping this family safe is so important today because there's lots of pressures, not just from the gay community, but all kinds of pressures to change the meaning of marriage. And it's really important for those of you who are preparing for marriage and those of you who have families to ask the Lord to keep at least your marriage and the understanding of marriage that the church has safe. And the way that's done is if we commit ourselves to that. You know, marriage in the Catholic Church is understood to be a sacrament, which means it's a sign that shows us something. And it shows us something about Jesus. You know, the sacraments are all about his activity in our lives. And the sacrament of marriage is a sacrament of Christ's love for his church, which means that as a Christian, you and I have the right to expect that those of you who are married are a reflection for us of Christ's love for the church. That means the way you love your husband, the way you love your wife, is the way Christ loves his church, which is how? Faithfully and selflessly. So the more you're faithful, the more you're selfless in your marriage, the more your marriage becomes a sacrament, a living sign of the presence of Christ within the community. And so we pray for that today. We pray for that for your families, your marriages, but also the marriages of all the members of our church community. The Lord would keep those marriages safe and that we might keep them safe by our own commitment to that understanding of marriage. Now, let's look at today's scripture readings. It's obvious, if you're paying attention, that today's scripture readings are about two things, about light and about salt. And Jesus tells us in the gospel that we are to be two things. We are to be the salt of the earth, and we are to be the light of the world. Really big things. But one thing Jesus doesn't tell us in today's gospel is how we become light. He says we're supposed to be light, but he doesn't tell us how to become light. And the answer to that question, how do we become light, is supplied by today's first reading from the Old Testament, from the prophet Isaiah. Listen again to what God tells us. Thus says the Lord, share your bread with the hungry, shelter the oppressed and the homeless, clothe the naked when you see them, and do not turn your back on your own. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn. And he says it again in a slightly different way. If you remove from your midst oppression, false accusation, and malicious speech, if you bestow your bread on the hungry and satisfy the afflicted, then light shall rise for you in the darkness. And so the way you and I become the light of Christ to the world is to become women and men of justice. You know, the word justice doesn't mean we follow the law, although just people follow the law. The word justice means having the right or correct relationship with God and with other people. Vertically and horizontally, they have the right relationships with others is what it means to be a just person. That means we submit ourselves as creatures to our Creator, who is God. Anything less than that is an unjust relationship with God. We're out of balance. And then to see everyone who is not us as our sister or as our brother, which leads us to acts of justice, acts of right relationship, which were very clear. We feed the hungry, we clothe the naked, we don't turn our back on our own. You know, charity begins at home with our family members in our own local communities. And it's only after we do those kind of things that we become the light of God in the world in which we live. So are you a just woman? Are you a just man? Are you interested in justice? You know, that's not something that other people do. It's something that we do if we are disciples of Jesus Christ. Our responsorial psalm, which is taken from Psalm 112. It's a beautiful line. The just man is a light in darkness to the upright. You know, there's so little justice in our world, so few right relationships, that if you're a just person, you are going to be a light in the darkness of our world, in the darkness of a culture that is somehow self-centered and not in a proper relationship with God or with others. So having heard that, we turn to today's gospel to hear Jesus' words themselves. Jesus said to his disciples, now last Sunday was the feast of the presentation of Jesus in the temple, and the scripture readings were taken from that feast, so we didn't have the ordinary readings of the fourth Sunday in ordinary time, which was last week, which are the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, blessed are those who mourn. You remember the Beatitudes. So Jesus had just spoken those words to his disciples, which are statements about justice in relationship with people and with God. And he followed up with today's very, very brief but very clear statement of what he expects from you and me. He says to us, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Now, I don't know that I've ever opened a box of salt and it's flat. It always tastes pretty salty to me. So when I read this passage, I wonder, what is Jesus talking about? How can salt lose its flavor? And of course, the way we process salt today would mean that it doesn't. But back in Jesus' time, the way they got salt wasn't from, you know, the grocery store. They got it from perhaps the Dead Sea, which is very near Jerusalem. And it was a very crude kind of salt that was mixed with all kinds of other things. It wasn't the pure kind of salt that we have today. And when it would get damp, it would sometimes, the salt would evaporate and salt did lose its flavor. And what Jesus is saying to his disciples is that if we're going to be the salt of the earth, if we're going to be something that gives flavor and zest to the world in which we live, we have to be careful that we don't lose the quality that would make us that kind of person. And that can happen by our selfishness and sin. And what makes us light and salt is that we reflect and by the way we act the life of Christ that is in us. And we have an obligation, if we're going to be disciples of Jesus, to be that intense kind of salt that makes a difference in the flavoring of the world. The second image that Jesus uses is the image of light. We know that Jesus is the light. You know, he tells us that in the Gospel of St. John. And we know that if we are his disciples, we are merely reflections of his light. Listen to what he says about light. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden. So we're supposed to be like a city on a mountaintop for everybody to see. Nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. I was wondering, do you know what a bushel basket is? And I come from Kansas where we had lots of bushel baskets. But when you live in a city, do you ever buy things by the bushel? People shake their heads. No, a bushel is a big basket, you know. And so you don't light a candle and then put it under a big basket. It is set on a lampstand where it gives light to all in the house. Just so, your light must shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your heavenly Father. Now, there are many places in the scripture where Jesus calls us humility and not to show off, and that's a basic Christian attitude, that we do what we do because it's good, not because we want to be known as special or holy. But Jesus is telling us here that we have an obligation to lead our Christian life in such a clear way that we are a light to the world. And it's not right for us to ever do anything that would hide that light, because when we do give light, what we're doing is giving glory to God, who is the source of all the good that we do. And so the challenge before us this evening is the question, are we as individuals, because that's where we always begin, are we as a church community, the parish of St. Peter and Paul here at the cathedral, are we as a local church, the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, truly salt in the community of the five counties of southeastern Pennsylvania, and truly a light to the world in which we live? I think the answer to that is probably sometimes yes and sometimes no. And so we have scriptures before us that call us to a reinvigoration of our commitment to lead our Christian life vitally so that we make a difference in the world. One thing I like to point out when I hear today's scripture readings, when I'm called to preach, is the similarity between light and salt. They have one thing in common. At first look, they don't have anything in common. But they do have one thing in common, and the thing they have in common is that neither salt nor light exists for itself. We don't eat salt by the tablespoonful, do we? We put it on something else, and it enhances the flavor. So it exists to give vigor and flavor to something else. And the same thing's true about light. We don't look at lights. We don't go out in the middle of the day and look at the sun. It would hurt our eyes. I mean, the sun exists to help us see other things, and it brings out the color and vitality of the world around us. That's why these cold winter days are so depressing, right? Because there's no sun that brings light. It makes the world look so pale and so dead. But when there's light, it makes all the difference in the world, because light exists in order for us to see, and it highlights the beauty of the world around us. So the way, again, we become salt and light is to forget ourselves and to live in the service of God and our neighbor, to become women and men of just relationships, because the proper relationships of Christians in the world is to forget ourselves and to live in the service of God and our neighbor. And that's especially true about marriages, right? The way marriages succeed is if the husband forgets himself in his love and service of his wife and children, and if the wife forgets herself in loving service of her husband and her children. So we ask the Lord today to give us graces to overcome our selfishness and to live wholly for Him. And if we do that, God will bless the world through us, because we will truly become salt and light that make a difference.